It's Thursday, February 16th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central Shows, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Save 25% on a one-year fourth-generation hosting by using the promo code CES2. Geek News Central is a partner of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Have I got a great show lined up for you? And lots to talk about, lots of tech. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Todism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to Geek News Central's Live as It Can Be from beautiful Honolulu, Hawaii. Hey, everyone, welcome to the show. My name is Todd Cochran. And, you know, I had a whole new intro script written tonight. And as part of my little branding tweak, and I completely blew it at the beginning of the show. So I'll figure it out in a few weeks. Hey, everyone, welcome to the show. Of course, we want to give a warm welcome to our Ohana. And those of you that are listening from really across the entire world, thanks for tuning in, watching, or listening to the show, whatever it may be. And we want to make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com and check out all the great content over there. And of course, at GNC, you're going to find lots of tech content written by our great writers. And actually, not that website. Let's bring this website up. So definitely come over to GNC, check us out, and get subscribed to the show while you're over there. It's real easy to do so. You can watch this show, post-show, on the Roku, Boxy, Google TV, Samsung Smart TV. Of course, we're live streaming tonight as well. And really, it's easy to get to subscribe to the show. You'll find information there on the website. And of course, getting connected with the newsletter as well. If you want to check out some of the stuff we have to offer to our listeners and viewers, you definitely want to go over to cafepress.com/Ohana store. And as always, you can reach me here at the show very, very simply on Twitter at Geek News. Of course, you can email me at geeknews@gmail.com. And you can call the show hotline 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at 619-342-7365. Well, I got a great show lined up for you today. And of course, this show would not be possible in part without our sponsors. I want to thank the folks over at GoDaddy for being one of our sponsors of our show. And they really take care of us. They keep the lights on here. And I've got some great codes for you to use in saving money on different products that they have. First thing I want to talk about is their fourth generation hosting service. And this basically is a revolutionary hosting platform. It's secure cloud hosting that's really amazingly fast, even during the biggest spikes. And we've been testing this in a big way. If you've been watching any of the CES content that we put up, all of it's been served from a fourth generation hosting account at GoDaddy. And we're going to save you 25% off a purchase over there. If you go over there and pick up one of their accounts, again, economy pricing is $5.99 for the very lowest plan, all the way to $9.99 a month for their ultimate fourth generation hosting account. And these hosting accounts really have more than you'll ever need to. You know, they come with so many different features that I don't even think most people really appreciate what GoDaddy has packaged here. They're scanning your site every day. They're backing it up. They're providing unlimited website space and bandwidth. Just purely unlimited email accounts. Same thing with MySQL databases. They're, you know, obviously they aren't completely unlimited on the databases and stuff. But you know, I think even on my servers, I use like maybe 20 or 25 MySQL databases. So when they tell you you can have 1,000, you're like, why would I ever use 1,000 MySQL databases on a single account? I don't think you would ever would, but they do have those available if you need them. And of course, we've got lots of other codes available to you as well to use. And really, all you got to do to find all the great codes is go to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. You find all the codes that we have available. February specials right now, we've got $7.99 .co domains. And these aren't going to last. At the end of the month, you're not going to be able, you're going to be spending like $20 for the .co domains. So cofeb3 gets you $7.99.co's. And I also have an additional hosting offer where you can get deluxe hosting for the price of economy with a 12-month plan by using the code HOST, HOSTFEB3. All right. Thank GoDaddy, of course, for being a sponsor here. And definitely check out all the codes. We do definitely appreciate it. Hey, we've been busy here. My wife and I were talking on Valentine's Day. We had a really, I guess for a better word, super sexy, flamboyant dinner. No. I had one in robotics, and a robotics thing. They had to stay late after school. I had one in track practice. I had my 8-year-old with us who was hungry. So they've got a chain of what they call L&L drive-ins here, and it's basically get plate lunch. And for those of you that have never been to Hawaii, plate lunch is it's pretty easy to describe. It's an entree, whether it be a chicken katsu, spare ribs, a Korean barbecue, just you name it, whatever the entree may be that these stores make. 2 scoops of rice and a scoop of mac cheese. So definitely a very nutritious meal, probably about 5,000 calories. I don't know what the calorie count on a typical Hawaiian plate lunch is, but no one goes hungry here. So that was our special Valentine's night out. So her and I were talking about doing a staycation, and staycations in Hawaii are basically, you know, you go get a room down in Waikiki and hang out at the hotel pool and you do the tourist thing. And so I said, well, you know, it's a long weekend. The kids are off school on Monday. Let's go down and stay a couple nights downtown, and I'll leave the computer and the phone at home. And she says, sounds great. Go ahead and book it. And, you know, so I'm online kind of looking for a few deals, and she calls me. She says, forget it. I'm like, what? She goes, robotics contest on Sunday. Anna's got something on Saturday. Chris has got something Saturday morning. And then Sunday, something. I'm just like, okay, so much for the staycation. Because we're talking about doing the jacuzzi thing, you know, kind of, you know, a little parents' time out. The kids go in the kids' pool and the parents do the, you know, the parent thing. And it didn't happen. So I owe her big time for our super Valentine's night. But I'm up to my waterline, really, and work. Things have been pretty crazy here. But we're going to have a Saturday morning tech show tomorrow, or Saturday morning, that you're going to want to tune in for. I'm going to have some folks in here that are part of the tech community in Hawaii. And we're going to be talking about some initiatives that are going on here in Honolulu that I think you're going to be very excited about. We're going to be talking about startups in Hawaii as well. And we're going to kind of talk. It's going to be a little bit talking about some political initiatives that the tech industry is taking charge of here, and how we're going to be watching legislation and stuff like that. And we hope that you'll tune in and watch live Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Pacific or 12 noon Eastern. Of course, the show will be available for download after a couple hours after the episode. And we're also going to do a Tech Podcast Roundtable on Saturday as well. We've got a couple of great topics we're going to be bringing to content creators, so look for those to you as well. But yeah, I got my corporate taxes into my accountant probably. And I got in there, I got the look, you know, and he's like, you know, you're late. I'm like, and, you know, he did the hands up type of thing, like, what can I do? And so I'm sure I'm going to pay a price for getting stuff in late to him. And the gal that does all the bookkeeping entering show says, well, I know what I'm doing this weekend. And I kind of winked at her and I said, well, it's tax time, right? So they're bored the rest of the year. I shouldn't say that. It's not fair. They do a great job and keep me out of trouble with Uncle Sam. But lots going on here. Really, you know, it's time for RFPs going into all the media buyers. So it's never a day of rest. And I keep telling myself that I'm going to hire someone. And I've had a couple of people send me resumes on working for me a part-time basis where I can just outsource some of these repetitive, crappy tasks that I have to do all the time. And I got to get that underway. And part of the problem is I haven't had enough. The water line hasn't went down far enough for me to actually get time to, you know, to interview and talk to a few people that have expressed interest working for me on a part-time basis. And it is a, it's pretty sad when you don't have time to talk to the person that you want to hire to help you save time, because you know it's going to take time to train them to do the job, and that's time you can't lose right now, if that makes any sense. But that's exactly the case that I'm running up against right now. So anyway, I know enough of this sob story, and we'll get into the tech here in just a second. Of course. Hey, want to talk just a minute, though, about our Insider program. A number of you have been absolutely loyal and contributing to the show every month. It's been greatly appreciated. And I tell you, it's been a challenge for me to put together content that is truly insider information, because I share so much during the show that when it comes to actually putting something together that is stuff that you don't know, you know, I'm a pretty open book. So, you know, I share a lot of stuff. So, you know, I'm hoping those of you that are they're insiders and supporting the show with either $2, $5, $10, $15, or $25 a month as a contribution point will continue to do so. And I appreciate you that you're appreciating me for doing the content and helping the show out. It is greatly appreciated. And any of you that want to become insiders, definitely check that out at geeknewscentral.com/insider. It is, you know, really my pleasure to bring you the show, but really every penny that you help contribute to the show basically goes back into the show and helps me create content and keep my family fed and everything else, along with the sponsors here. So definitely thank you all for that. And so give me some ideas. What should I do for you that you're doing something special for me? You're helping me out financially by contributing to the show. So what do I need to really kind of make amends here and help the those of you that are insiders, giving you some more inside looks of what happens here? I guess I'm going to ask you, just send me some questions. You know, if you have specific questions, some stuff that you had curiosities about, stuff that I maybe haven't answered on the show, I can do that. Basically put on the email, of course, insider contributor, then put a question or two, and I can put that together and we can make that a response and something special. Or if you want me to do something special in content, I can do that as well. Maybe that's kind of, or give me some ideas on what I can do to make amends. But as always, it's again my pleasure to bring you this show, and I appreciate you being here and part of the Ohana, part of the family. Let me go ahead and take care of the last piece of business before we get into the tech show. But you know, I found out this week, I'm using a lot more business tools, whether it be sending a newsletter information out that we are using surveys, whether it be having the ability to do online meetings, you name it. I'm using a lot of different tools today, and I have a lot of stuff in my toolbox to make my life easier. So, you know, more and more business people are really working remotely, and I like to just grab the laptop up and go down to the beach or go to a local Starbucks or something like that, kind of get some fresh atmosphere. And you may be working with your iPad or your iPhone. I was in getting my car work done on Tuesday. No, what was it? It was Wednesday. The right passenger door, there's my Mazda CX-9, the seatbelt got wet one night inside the roller when it was a heavy rainstorm, and I wanted them to see if they could find where the leak was. Ultimately, they couldn't find the leak, but I was there waiting for about 4 hours, and I was working on my laptop for the first couple of hours. There really was no convenient place to plug in. It died. I needed to continue doing some work. I basically was able to open up my iPad and load go to my PC and get right into my computer at home. And it was really cool. I was really working remote while not being in one of these classical remote locations, but waiting for my car to be fixed. So it's really the missing link. It turns your iPad and iPhone into your computer. And with GoToMyPC by Citrix, you can access your entire Mac or PC, work on any program, save, edit, send any file from anywhere. And GoToMyPC is convenient to use, reliable. It sets up in just minutes. It's a piece of cake. And while you're on the go, you can even take care of urgent requests to edit a PowerPoint, update a spreadsheet, whatever you need to do. And you, as a listener of the show, can try GoToMyPC today with a special 30-day free trial just for you. Go to mypc.com And really, it's real simple. You just go over to the website, go to mypc.com, click on the Try It Free button. There's a little orange button in the middle of the page. It'll load up another page. It'll ask you for your name, your email address, and the promo code. All you got to do is enter that promo code podcast, and that's going to get you a 30-day free trial on me. Give it a try. I'm sure you're going to love it as much as I do. I've got a number of machines here on GoToMyPC, and just like I use GoToMeeting and other Citrix products, this is a mainstay of my digital war chest of stuff that I use to stay productive at all times. And no matter where you're at, it's amazing what you can do business-wise these days. Let me go ahead here and open up Chrome. I've got a number of articles for you tonight. And let me close this one. I want to start right off and talk about the situation that is going on with Apple and iOS apps that are basically downloading our entire address books. You know, so doesn't it make you a little bit nervous that, you know, you've got friends, family members, business acquaintances? Really, your address book is very personal and very private. Many times you'll have private telephone numbers on there that you won't want to share. And just, you know, even if you are, you know, if you're a celebrity and you have an iPhone and you've got other celebrities' telephone numbers and all kinds of contact information, email, you know, you look at the contact list and what it can contain. On one person, you could have the name, address, email. You could have their home phone number, their business phone number. You could have their cell phone number. You could have their fax number. You could have notes about them, all kinds of detailed information about people that you do business with. And my contact or my address book has got a huge amount of data in it. And, you know, with the situation last week with Path uploading the data, and it turns out more companies are doing it, we really need to ask what they're doing with our media, all these companies. And because people have been doing it for a while, and we have to ask Apple what they were doing with our data, if the, you know, if they were accessing it, you know, if Path was accessing it, it's almost absolutely guaranteed that Apple was too. So, you know, there's a lot of data mining there. You know, it's pretty scary. I think I've got close to 500 different telephone numbers in my address book, and that's not even all of them. It's people I do business with, contacts, media buyers, sources for information. You know, all that private data. Now, Apple has said that you're going to have to opt in from now on in sharing. Basically, they're going to have to ask you to get your address book information. But how many people already have it? How many companies have it? How many apps that have you loaded that had a ulterior? Basically, it should have never accessed that data, pulled it in. It's pretty scary to think that they could just grab that data and pulling it. So Apple has promised a update to iOS that require explicit user permission. This should have been rolled immediately. This should have been rolled today. It should have came out, and it should have, you know, this should be one of those things where they release it right. But it doesn't, does it bother you at all that Google is, I mean, Apple is allowing your address book and other information to be uploaded to these app developer sites? It's scary. It really is. And, you know, there could be all kinds of data mined from that. And a person's address book is beyond personal. You know, it really is. And, you know, my wife and I have some private contacts in there that, family members, you know, it's very egregious that they've allowed this to happen. And it's obvious that this has been happening for a while. So this is no better than that Carrier IQ fiasco where they were basically capturing all the keypad punches as well. And we know that Foursquare apparently has been uploading your address book as well. And they've acknowledged the issue via Twitter, and they've promised an update very soon. And they're going to have a little pop-up that explains what's happening. And they're going to say that Foursquare never stores your data. But, you know, you go and look at Twitter. When you go on Twitter for the first time, they ask if you want to link your address book to invite people. They've been storing your data. So, you know, really what we've been doing is we've all been very lax in allowing these companies to have this gold mine of information. And it made me ask my team and our developers. I said, Angelo, does any of our apps touch any address books? Does it pull any data? Are we, you know, there's nothing we're getting off these phones, are we? Besides a person's, you know, they're logging into our service. We're not doing anything else, right? And he said, no, I would have never thought to. And, you know, him and I got to talking about it. And, you know, real easily we could have. And that to me is very offensive to think that companies would have done that up to this point and not asked permission. You know, I'm really, really anal when it comes to privacy of data. You know, I work with a little over 10,000 content creators, and a large percentage of those, I have access to statistics data. I can tell where their audience is being, how this their media is being consumed. I have a real in-depth look at their shows, but I have never, ever, ever shared anyone's download information cross-party. Anyone, if I do share an individual show's data with a vendor, I've asked permission in advance to do that, or I've done it as an aggregate where I've, you know, had 100 shows put together and they can't point out a single show, can't cherry pick. I'm real picky about it. Matter of fact, we got a policy at within the company itself that limited number of people, I think right now the number's 3, have access to the stats data. The tech support people don't. Our social media person does not have access to the stats data. They get some aggregate numbers from us and we provide that to them, but never anything about a specific show. And because we really are sensitive about that data. And, you know, it's part of the trust we have with the people we work with. So these companies are sucking down addresses book. It's just an absolute break of trust. And you should, you know, I think you should punish those companies that are doing this and delete their apps off your phone. You know, that's the only way we can make them understand that they just can't ravage our data anymore and violate our privacy. We give up so much and we've gave up so much. I think of people that, you know, let's say someone in the early 1900s was alive today, or, you know, take for example, my grandfather who died at 99, you know, I think he would, if I explained to him at the time when he was still alive, how much stuff we're sharing online, I think he would have told us we're absolutely insane, you know, because it was all about being private and with, you know, not being so much out there and being reserved. So, we just live in this digital space today where anything goes. And it's kind of interesting. I was talking with a gal, kind of talking about some advertising strategy, and she was, you know, amazed at what people share on social media and on Twitter and stuff. And she was a little bit older than I was, and you could just tell she was very reserved, and she, you know, wasn't a person to go and brag, and she just didn't get it. And I can understand there's that, you know, there's this age gap where, you know, you turn into being this, you know, quiet, reserved, and not putting your business out there to, you know, ever increasing shift as a person gets younger and how much data they're sharing. I look at some of the stuff my daughter puts on Facebook and I just cringe. My 22-year-old, excuse me. I just cringe. I'm like, oh my God, Natalie, what are you putting on Facebook? You know, but she's 22 and I've warned her, and what can you do? You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink, right? And, I think we all have to face some of this stuff and start paying more attention to it. This will be some of the type of stuff we'll be talking about on Saturday Morning Tech with some celebs here in Honolulu. All right, let's changing topics here. HBO Go has rolled out to most Samsung smart HD TVs, but not through all providers. So basically, if you've got a Samsung smart TV, you now can get the HBO Go. And again, it's not available in all markets, but it's supported on both the 2000 and 2011 smart TVs. Now, it's important here to note that, and I kind of know how the Samsung app infrastructure works, And sometimes you see a app on a 2011 model where it's not in a 2010. It's because there's a little bit of different a code delta and maybe they haven't approved it. But they are on a number of models with the exception of a few. I'll have the link up in the show notes on that. But definitely if you've got a Samsung Smart TV and you have HBO as a, you're subscribing to it on your cable service, you now can get access to it. Now, along with that, Samsung's 2012 HD TV pricing has been leaked. And I had to laugh. My wife and I were, I had to return a universal power supply. I had one that went bad and it was still under warranty. And we were going through a store and there was a Samsung HD TV, one of the silver rimmed ones, really nice 60-inch HD TVs. And she was just like, look at that TV. And we're due for a change out in our living room. And I said, look at the price. And she walked around and look at the price. And, you know, the they're beautiful. And but I'm not ready to lay out a couple of grand, close to $3,000 from their, some of their nice units. But their LED 8000 series, their 75-inch model is going to be $7,299 with their 46-inch model being $2,699. These are all going to pack 3D screens alongside dual-core processors for TV-based apps. Now, please remember here, on the 8000 series, Samsung Smart TVs, that's really their top of the line. They may have a 9000 series, but very limited numbers. But 8000 is top of the heap. And, of course, they have a lower series number. They have lower price points. But 2012 models are going to have cameras. And supposedly some gesture stuff as well, that you'll be able to control it with gestures. So did not see that at CES, but we'll keep an eye out for these new Samsung TVs that'll be on the market here soon. Clearwire saying it's going to be launching a TD-LTE network by June of 2013. And so they've been surprised, you know, they've been promising their speedy LTE network for some time now. My Clear connection is still down. And so anyway, that is an issue for me. Is, you know, I'm running three internet connections here to monitor everything. And the Clear connection is has been out and we're waiting for a new modem. Someone's in the chat room of Spin saying, Spin said, wanted to use a real chat. Spin? Oh, okay. You're using, yeah, the chat client we have for the live video stream is one a lot of shows use. I hope you like it, Spin. It's definitely not one of those other weird ones that are out there. We like you being able to be in a chat room where you can use IRC controls. Hey, the folks over at Engadget, I got to show you guys this. And I want one. I don't know if I can afford to buy one. But let me bring this up in the on the screen here for you. This is a new alarm clock that when I saw it, I was like, oh, got to have one. And what it is, it's they call it the Nixie Ramos alarm clock. And what it's using is Nixie tube displays that would really put any regular alarm clock digital digits to shame. And if you're going to want to buy one of these, you know, it's got this retro look, little steampunk kind of thing going on just a little bit. But what excited me was the Nixie tube displays to show the time. But it's got some modern features where you have to put a code in to make it shut off and some other things. So they are going to be, you have to put a pledge in for one of these between $160 and $350 before April 1st. And, you know, the Nixie design is $350, but just to have one of these and nothing else, to have it here in the studio on the shelf behind me would be awesome. So I'm thinking about picking up one of these. I think when you guys see it, you're going to be like, whoa, you're going to want one. It's awesome. And, this is just the kind of stuff that, makes people stop and look and ask questions. And, it's cool. This is a total geek alarm clock here, but I think that may be a replacement for the alarm clock I've had since I was 20. I quite literally have the same alarm clock. I've been using the same alarm clock for almost 30 years here. Kind of funny. All right, moving on to the next article. Boxy and the NCTA debate if clear QAM is good for all of us. And some of you are saying, what the heck is clear QAM? Well, we've talked about this before. The National Cable and Telecommunication Association and Boxy don't see eye to eye on whether the cable channels that are coming in from your cable provider that are of local stations that are currently unencrypted, the cable providers want to encrypt those signals. So right now on your cable box, if you go to your local news station, more than likely that signal is unencrypted. And if you disconnected your cable from your cable box and plugged your cable directly into your TV, you could still watch that specific channel. So what the NCTA wants is they want the ability to encrypt those signals, which is then going to require you to have a cable box for some of those lower channels that haven't been encrypted up to this point. They're claiming that by encrypting those channels, it's going to enable self-install. So people are no longer going to have the cable guy come out and install your cable access. Now, you know, anyone with half a brain can take a cable and hook it up to the wall and hook the cable up to a cable box right now or your TV and get your cable to work. Now, this would not be such a bad thing, what they're proposing, if the doggone industry had embraced the cable cards. But they have fought cable cards for such a long time that what's essentially going on here now is that, you know, they want those channels digital. And when it's digital, they, you know, it basically locks you in unless you go out and buy a TV antenna to get those local stations over the, you know, the reel, over the air. You know, that would be your other alternative. So this battle is going to continue. I don't know if it's going to, who's going to be the winner or loser on this one here, but I think you need to pay attention, and we'll keep you advised of this as this moves forward and find out where this is going to fall out. But, you know, I find it very distressing that they're going to encrypt those channels, because these new little sticks and stuff that companies like Boxy are putting together will no longer work because they'll be all of a sudden be obsolete because the signal will be encrypted. So we'll keep you advised on this. And I'll link this article up on Engadget for you to check out, where they go into this a little bit deeper. Hey, the European Space Agency, specifically some folks in Switzerland, want to develop a new satellite that's going to go out and basically do some house cleaning and clean up some of our orbital debris. The project dubbed Clean Space One will tackle one or two Swiss-born celestial objects, and they plan to launch this satellite within the next 2 or 3 years. And it's going to go out and grab some Swiss space trash, and then basically deorbit itself and burn it, the satellite, the cleanup satellite, and the trash up on reentry. So they want to get this up, and they've got a little pet project going with this, and they've got some artistic depictions of what this thing looks like. You know, they're going to have to do something soon. And I think the way they're going to have to do it is, I think NASA was on to a good idea by, you put a satellite in a little higher orbit, and then, you know, you use, a laser or another, you probably have to use a laser in order to heat the object up a little bit to change its, telemetry so that you can get it on a path going to a deorbit. I just don't see how they're ever going to be able to put any type of man-made device up there that's actually going to be able to go out and collect this stuff. You know, there's just too much. They're going to have something there where they can sit off from afar and kind of zap them all and move stuff little by little. I don't know how, you know, obviously it's a big issue, but obviously I think there's going to be a big business in cleaning up space junk. As we move forward, there's only so much room up there, that's for sure. NASA has put together and done another demo of what they call the Genie rocket system. And this is kind of cool. What they've done, and this is its second flight, is basically they're trying to figure out how they're going to move you know, once they go to Mars and sit down somewhere, you know, are they going to want to stay right at that spot? Or are they going to want to be able to relaunch and relocate to another part of the planet? Well, they've been experimenting with this Genie rocket system, and they've been doing lateral flight. And it's not going very far at this point, a couple hundred feet, I guess. But they've had some pretty good practice with this, and everything's working from a, you know, basically from a stability standpoint. Pretty cool video. And I'll have that link up in the show notes you can check out. Definitely NASA here's thinking ahead, definitely spending some of our taxpayer dollars on this. But, you know, I don't know. It's one of those things where you're on Mars, you're safe and sound. Do you really want to strap yourself back into a rocket that's going to move you laterally across the planet someplace? I don't know. I don't know about that. It seems pretty high risk to me. But NASA's planning for it. All right, big announcement today by Apple. Really, it was actually a kind of a small announcement. They made the announcement to a few select individuals in some private settings. They brought in the Wall Street Journal and four or five other media, you know, bloggers and some press, and briefed them on OS 10 Lion, Mountain Lion. And this is a, the developer's version has been released to developers today. They removed Mac from the description of the operating system. So that's kind of an interesting move in itself. But it's, you can see where they're headed here, is they are going to be focusing on making the experience the same across all screens. So what you're going to see on your iPhone is what you're going to see in your iPad, is what you're going to see on your laptop or your desktop. And some of the enhancements coming to Mountain Lion will be an enhancement to iCloud. And this is going to be the first operating system that's going to be tightly linked to the cloud. They're going to have a messaging system in there. So if you get a message on your phone, it also pops up on your pops up on your computer. They're going to be tying all the reminder stuff into all the calendar stuff, as you would expect. Same thing with notes. You take a note, it replicates across multiple devices. Notification center as well, letting you know you've got mail or a text message or a tweet or whatever it may be. And of course, more importantly, they're going to be bringing in Game Center. So Game Center will allow you to do airplane mirroring and a variety of different things. So essentially what they're going to be doing is they want to make it so that you are going to buy more apps from the App Store. But I think the thing that disturbs me about one of the features that they're going to talk about with OS 10 Mountain Lion, version 10.8, is a feature called Gatekeeper. And this is an attempt by Apple to, as they say, and I don't necessarily believe them at this point, but they say that this is a way to protect people's computer installs from malware. So essentially what's going to happen is, if you're a developer, you're going to go register your app with Apple. It's going to go into the iOS App Store Equisphere. And when someone installs it, the gatekeeper is going to know that this is a certified piece of software and it's safe to install on your computer. If something ends up being amiss with the software, then Apple's going to have this kill function where they're going to be able, just like they can kill on your iPhone and on your iPad, they're going to be able to kill that piece of software and have it removed from your PC, which to me is a little bit, So here's the thing that they're seeing in the initial preview release that really disturbs me. Many of you have used a chat application called Adium, A-D-I-U-M. It's on a lot of different computers. You know, this is a very popular application for Mac users. So the tester installed this application basically from a non-Mac App Store location. And what popped up was, it was a warning. And the warning button said, Adium has not been signed by a recognized distributor and may damage your computer. You should move it to the trash. It goes on to say ADEM is on the disk image, ADEM_1.4.4.dmg. Safari downloaded this disk image today at 11:06 a.m. from ADIUM.IM. So basically, because you've downloaded it from a website, and you're basically getting ready to install it by double-clicking the DMG file, they basically Apple's popping up this warning saying, hey, this is not a signed, recognized distributor. Throw this in the trash. So what Apple's going to be doing here is they're going to be forcing developers to use this gatekeeper and play by the rules. It's just more, this really disturbs me from the standpoint that now, not only are they going to control what's on your phone, they have the ability to control what's on your desktop, and they can remove it as well. They can decide who is going to be on and who isn't. Your computers, all of a sudden, are going to be siloed, and you're not going to have as much control as you used to have. This does not calm my fears of Apple basically siloing the PC, putting it in a silo that basically is controlling it more than it's already controlled. By them explicitly telling you to move the app to the trash, that is just shocking to me. And again, this instant message client is one that everyone has installed on their Macs. I've got it on my computer over here. So if the gatekeeper is treating the ADEM app just as if it was a foreign malware piece of software, what's going to happen to the smaller guys? Now, maybe this is because it's in preview mode that this is an issue, but it does raise, questions that I want to see answered by Apple. We'll see. And as Dave Weiner says, the only malware that we know in Apple's ecosystem is software that Apple blessed through its review process, the stuff that grabs whatever it can upload, the stuff that grabs whatever it can, uploads it to private servers. Do you think Apple has dipped into our private data for its own purposes? And then it goes and talk about Gatekeeper. And, can they put the toothpaste back in the tube? I don't think so. But if they do, it's going to mean more control of what you can do. Now, developers are, obviously going to be looking at the Game Center and developing apps that can be run on the PC. And the sandboxing stuff is obviously an issue with Gatekeeper. There's going to be the notification system that's probably going to become very popular. That stuff will be popping up on your screen as you're working, letting you know that you've got a new tweet or a direct message or something like that. So time will tell on this. What do you guys feel about this conjoining of technology? Those of you that are Mac users. Now, those of you that are on Droid, this is already kind of a reality. The Droid ecosystem is the same. Windows is definitely going towards that. So what we're going to end up with is really three ecosystems here that are going to be, the Apple line, the Android line, and we're going to have the Microsoft line. And probably none of them will talk to one another real well. That's where the money's going to be, in doing the crosstalk across all these different platforms. And that's probably where there's a whole industry waiting to be, reborn, because we've seen these issues already in the past. For a while, everything's been kind of intermixed, and we've been able to do things on multiple PCs with the same type of documents and so forth. You just wonder if we're going to have this divergence again of, abilities to cross-platform stuff. Only time will tell. With Google, with everything in the cloud, I guess everything is cross-platform, but some stuff it will obviously be an issue as we move forward. All right, AT&T definitely, with their loss of the T-Mobile deal, they are absolutely, everything on the street is basically saying they are ready to pounce and basically buy up anybody they can to get more spectrum. And they are bursting at the seams, and they are complaining loudly that they are not, they don't have enough space for all their current customers. Now, what does this mean? That means that Verizon, who has a pretty good reserve of wireless spectrum, that they spent a lot of money to get that spectrum is sitting in a better position than AT&T is. So it appears that there is a look at particularly Dish and MetroPCS being on the acquisition radar of AT&T. And we'll see where this goes. But if you look at the actual spectrum that they have, and you look at, let me go down here and look at, all right, where is MetroPCS actually listed in this list? They must do business under a different name. Yeah, if you look at the holdings of Verizon, it's just huge as compared to AT&T Mobility. But then again, if you look at what's available, what Dish has in reserve spectrum, they've got quite a bit. And so, definitely AT&T is the underdog right now when it comes to the carrier, I mean, the actual spectrum they have access to. So we'll see where they jump, but you know, people are expecting this not to to take too long, and AT&T is going to have another acquisition target. Now, not to be outdone, Windows is preparing Windows 8 for launch. There was a slide that was leaked or actually obtained by someone today. It talks about specifically a Fujitsu roadmap for 2012. And they show Windows 8 launch to happen in early Q4. So expect to see Windows 8, as expected, October, probably the October timeframe of 2012, for those of you that are Windows fans. Now, one thing I've been doing is over the last week or so, I've been looking at some of the stuff that YouTube has been doing in their channels. And I was really kind of looking for an authoritative list of all the YouTube channels, and was kind of surprised on the YouTube site of the actual channel selections and some of the content. Definitely not a big tech offering there. Sports, comedy, some mom stuff. But I found a list today on GigaOhm that lists all the basically all of YouTube's new TV stars. And I was actually, you know, when I got through this list, I said, oh, there's some big names. You got the Red Bull, you've got Reuters, you've got Motor Trend, you have Kick TV, you got WWE, Young Hollywood, you've got Drive, you've got some, you know, a bunch here that probably most of us are familiar with, and some that were, that I was not. So I was checking some of those out. But what's happening here is that every year in New York, there's a 2-week period where all the broadcast people come into New York, and essentially billions in dollar in advertising gets basically guaranteed to the networks for the series they're launching in the fall, and lots of money being spent. Now, last year, advertisers spent $60 billion in traditional broadcast TV advertising. They only spent $2 billion on digital video. Now, that was double from 2010. So from 2010 to 2011, it went from $1 billion to $2 billion in advertising bought. And we're going to obviously a continued trend on this. But what I'm reading is that YouTube, Microsoft, and all these major players that have original video format, they're going to be doing their own New York tour, going in a couple of weeks before the broadcast people and doing their own wining and dining of these media buyers. And as I'm watching the space tighten up, there's going to be, you know, even though there is literally thousands of people creating tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people creating media, there's very few people doing serial stuff very well. And what I expect to see happening here now is that anyone that's got any type of a decent show that has any type of repetitiveness to it, it's got some history, all of a sudden, there's going to be a huge run, and it's already starting, a huge run for people to control all of this content that's being created out there. So it raises great opportunities for shows like mine and our networks and our net people that we're working with, our networks, to really kind of move up the food chain a little higher and, finally get to the point where shows that were not able to be full-time and didn't have the revenue may very soon be in a better position to do this. But I'm starting to tell content creators, be very careful who you're letting have access to your media, what rights you're signing away, because if you sign the wrong thing, you are going to miss out and someone else is going to control your media and you're not going to get paid. Someone else is. So as we start to see the demand for more digital media like mine and other people's, we're all going to have to become a little more savvy business-wise in making sure that our media isn't being exploited and people aren't making money. There's a lot of sites popping up right now that are syndicating content and some places where you're actually signing up and creating content. I was asked to do an interview. I got an email from a group this morning. I won't say who it is. They asked me to do an interview. I wasn't familiar with their website. I went over and looked at their website and looked at their terms of service. And basically they said, anything that I do say will be used, manipulated, changed, monetized by just participating. And I was like, no, that's not how it works. I'm not giving you access to my content under those terms and where they can monetize without paying me anything. It is an interesting time, and there's lots and lots of people creating content and lots of people that are going to be looking to cash in. I think there's plenty to go around for, basically it's, if you're a content creator, you're going to be in good shape here over the next few years. But anyway, I have this link up in the show notes for you. It's an article over on GigaOhm, and I'd love to hear you guys' feedback on where you think things are heading. You can email me, coursegeeknews@gmail.com, and 619-342-7365. Someone's asking me, where's Todd? On the chat, I'm saying, what? I'm here. All right. That was a weird, I'm here. Is the video not playing? Very odd. Okay, IAC-backed Errol. And this is a new company you're going to have to watch out for those of you that are out in the on the East Coast. And the way you, if you want to check this out, it's A-E-R-E-O, Aero.com. They're a new company that's going to enhance cord cutters. Basically, you're going to be able to get some of your local station coverage without a TV antenna. They've got an interesting model. I'm sure it's going to be challenged in court. But essentially, they feel they have a pretty strong legal standing in the way they've designed their network. But for about $12 a month, you're going to get access to a cloud-based dual tuner TV DVR. And you're going to be able to watch ABC, CBS, Fox, and others, content that's available via the DVR, stuff that you program in. And if you guys remember, Ivy.tv a year and a half ago or so was basically stomped on for their model of basically streaming local content. But the folks, Arrow, thinks they have been able to leverage copyright laws, allow them to do what they're doing and not get in trouble. And it's basically based on some prior rulings that Cablevision won. When they were introducing the DVRs at the back at the cable vision, at the cable head instead of your house. All right, moving on to a new topic here. There's a new site called JTS.TV, and they've launched a subscription video service for independent web series. And this is going to be versions of a number of popular web series online. And I was reading through this list. And I guess maybe I'm just completely out of the loop, but I've never heard of any of these shows. Their exclusive shows include Asylum, Blue Movies, Continuum, Generic Girl, Cell, Compulsions, Gold, The Jeff Lewis, 5-Minute Comedy Hour, Night of the Zombie King, The No-Ho Show, Out With Dad, The Pacellus, vampire, zombie, werewolf. Do you guys know these shows? I guess these are all internet-based stuff. I don't remember seeing any of these. But for $3.99 a month via Roku, and you'll be able to get access to these series of digital content. My question is, why don't you just go there with a browser, with Google TV, to their home sites if they're digitally based, and instead of paying them $3.99? I don't understand their model. All right, let me go ahead and let me check something here. And double check and make sure we're up on the stream. Because someone was saying they didn't see me. John C. Dvorak has an interesting article up. And, oh, that's interesting. Where am I? Yeah, I'm not seeing myself live. How come I'm not live? That's weird. I'm going to check something here while I'm talking. Anyway, John C. Dvorak says, why does Twitter hate me? I'm running on Amazon tonight. And specifically, he's talking about why he's not being validated on Twitter. And he doesn't understand what the story is. He doesn't understand why, you know, him of all people can't get validated. You know, John, welcome to the club. You know, you got to know someone over there and they got to like you in order to be validated. But it is true. You know, it's Facebook today announced that they're going to be verifying users. And if they do it just like Twitter does, none of us are going to get verified. And he goes on to talk about, you know, some issues he's had in essentially people impersonating him and saying stuff, bad things about other people, and then them calling him out. And he says, hey, it wasn't me. So have any of you gotten validated by Twitter or Facebook? If you have, let us know what the secret is. All right. All right. The music industry is mulling suing Google over pirate search results. The recording industry filing a lawsuit against Google for allegedly abusing its dominant market position to distort the market for online music. The industry, including the RIFPI, the RIAA, want Google to degrade links to pirate websites and search results. And this is an article that's over on Torrent Freak. We've talked about this in previous shows. And you know that they were accusing Google of this in the past. And it's getting a little bit more serious at this point. And we'll see where this goes. But, you know, I think the RIAA and the IFPI sue Google. I think they're going to be in for the fight of their lives. But the IFPI reported 460,000 Google search results between August and December 2011 that linked to pirated music. And I don't know. Can they be held accountable for, you know, just linking to stuff? That's what they're accusing Google of, obviously. Now, UK has seized a popular music blog. They've arrested the operator and threatened readers. Apparently, part of a criminal investigation, the UK government has shut down popular blog RNB Exclusive, which posted news, commentary, and links to music. The authorities arrested the owner of the site for allegedly defrauding the music industry. In addition, the series organized crime agents is threatening users of the RNBX exclusive that they face 10 years in prison if they downloaded music through the site. They put up a pretty nasty banner. I thought what ICE was doing was nasty, but here's what it says. It says, the Serious Organized Crime Agency has taken control of this domain name. The individuals behind the website have been arrested for fraud. The majority of music files that were available via this site were stolen from the artist. If you downloaded music in this website, you may have committed a criminal offense, which carries a maximum penalty of up to 10 years imprisonment and unlimited fine under UK law. Then it goes, it shows you a little box that logs your IP, your browser, your OS, the time and date that you went there. It says the above information can be used to identify you and your location. So they definitely have pulled out all the punches here and went after these guys in a big, big way. And wow, that's a big one here. And arrested these folks. And I'm not familiar at all with this site, RNB Exclusive. I'm not familiar with them. I don't know if they had music on the sites or if they were just linking to music. But, you know, the battle continues for sure. All right. The world's unluckiest BitTorrent pirate fined, but it avoids jail. A man from Sweden, the first in that country to be charged with sharing multiple unauthorized movies using BitTorrent, was found guilty of copyright infringement. Now get this out. The difference between the United States and Sweden is this guy has shared about 60 movies. He admitted to sharing them. He said that he did not let them seed very long once he downloaded them. But he was charged, he was fined 6,000 kronor, which was approximately 900 American dollars. So for 60 movies, he was charged 900 bucks. That's a little bit different on the offense rate. So let's do the quick math here. 900 divided by 60 is a whopping $15 per infringement. So yeah, just about the cost of the movie. So the prosecutor said he expressed his deep displeasure at the decision, saying that the offenses were tantamount to going to a store every week for a year and shoplifting, and should not have been considered as a single act. The prosecutor has until February 29th to appeal. He says he's going to do so. So BitTorrent users in Sweden can rest easy, because if they're only going to get 900 bucks out of you, the prosecution is not going to spend the money to prosecute people when it's going to end up in $900 and no jail time. So that was probably the first reasonable fine for copyright infringement. But anyway, it is interesting here. And you know how they found this? It was through an unrelated manner. And the defendant was house-sitting for a friend. And basically, the police seized his computer. Basically, he was house-sitting with his computer. Police was looking for someone else. They seized his computer and found the information on it. That's how he got charged. They didn't even go after him from an IP perspective. Crazy. All right, and some fun stuff here. Taco Bell has an 85 million taco shell reserve prepared for what they're calling the Doritos onslaught. You know they're going to be doing a taco shell flavored like a Dorito? That is going to be disgusting. Oh, my goodness. They think that's really going to sell? Oh, that's heartburn already, just gagging me out. eBay, a guy sold a safe that he found that was locked. He sold it for $123. He put on the eBay notice, "What you see is what you get, nothing more, nothing less." Turns out the guy that bought the safe, it had $26,000 in it. So I guess the guy who sold the safe was considered an idiot. All right, if you have a Wii, you now can stream Hulu Plus on the Wii, so be aware of that. All right. And what else do I have in the stack here for you tonight? Google has seen a 1,400% growth in brand followers since December. Companies like Samsung have over 370,000. Pepsi has 336. Amazon, 184,000. So, the brands are getting some serious followers on Google+. For those of you that want to watch March Madness on the internet, free web TV is disappearing. Most of it's going to go behind the paywall. So you can pay $3.99 one to access the games on a PC, Google, Android, and or Apple iOS devices. Of course, you can. This is after you've already bought your whatever they have, that March Madness ticket or whatever, that you're going to have a limited access to getting stuff online. You're going to have to pay significantly more money to get that via the net. For those of you that are basketball fans. And didn't basketball just start from their strike and it's already March Madness time? I don't even know who's winning. I guess I could care less. Hey, there's a pretty bad bug with Adobe Flash. I have a link. If you're getting an update to update Adobe Flash, update it. Especially if you're using Internet Explorer. This is a nasty one. But it's only affecting those that are using, basically watching Flash content with Internet Explorer. Kind of a weird one tonight. Can you imagine digging a basement with actual toys? You know, when my dad was in the excavating business, we would dig a basement in like, you know, half a day and haul the dirt away with trucks, you know. But excavating a basement using radio-controlled scaled models is really weird. But a guy in Saskatchewan, Canada, did just that. He's been digging his basement for the past 7 years with RC-controlled stuff. Those of you that are into RC toys, you're going to love this. Why don't you see this video? This guy's hardcore, and you can tell he's had a lot of fun. He should truly be a ditch digger. He has missed his calling in the real world. Parents, if you have kids in school in North Carolina, better be careful what you pack your kids for lunch. North Carolina food inspector sends girls' lunch home after determining it's not healthy enough. The girl had in her box lunch, in her paper bag lunch, a turkey and cheese sandwich, banana, potato chips, and apple juice. And it did not meet the U.S. Department of Agriculture guidelines. When did they start inspecting kids' brown bag? When did they do that? Now, here's the worst part of it. They took her lunch away. And the girl was given chicken nuggets instead for lunch. In North Carolina, all pre-kindergarten programs are required to evaluate the lunches being provided and determine if they meet USD nutrition guidelines. Chicken nuggets versus a turkey and cheese sandwich, banana and potato chips. We have absolutely lost our minds in this country. People are insane. Simply insane. Oh, I would be so mad. Oh, you have no idea. Anyone has packed their kids lunch, you would be too. All right, the FCC's crackdown on robocalls. The FCC on Wednesday approved tougher telemarketing rules designed to shield consumers from those disgusting robocalls. The rules require telemarketers to obtain written consent before placing so-called robocalls, and telemarketers will no longer be able to make robocalls simply because a person previously has done business with that telemarketer. Outstanding. I don't have the date this goes into effect. The Wall Street Journal, the rest of the article is behind a paywall. Jotform, if any of you have used Jotform.com, well, the U.S. government suspended their website today simply because one of the users was using something, using it in an illegal way. So they took offline over 2 million user-generated forms. Amazing. So Jotform is pretty upset. They're trying to get their domain turned back on. And they're really a nasty splash page on there. It's basically used for very legitimate purposes, but few bad apples. And the government, once again, overstepped its boundaries, did not have a warrant. It's disgusting. All right, last article is on Tech Dirt. And basically, it's an open letter to the U.S. trade representatives. And this is going to sum it up, just the headline alone. Dear USTR, want other countries to sign your trade agreements? Stop letting Hollywood write them. So I think that just... that explains it in a sentence. And I'll have that link up in the show notes. Don't think I've got any emails that have come in. And let me real quickly look here. And GNC comments. Load this up. What is today's day? Okay, I do have a couple. Got one here from Tom. Yeah, Tom, everything was cool. The gadget professor who couldn't do my show while I was out. I had a family thing. I'm really not going to go into it, but Don's doing okay. Got an email from Bruce. He says, "Hey, Todd, more on Backscatter Saga. Just left Florida and security queues were massive with the express lane pushing customers through the body scan with longer lines at the usual metal detectors. Now, if any state knows how to make queues work, it's going to be Florida, land of the Disney lines. Call me cynical, but I see their plan. Saved any other social media comments until boarded, as people seem to be getting pulled up these days with increasing sense of humor failures. Regard Bruce out of UK." Yeah, Bruce, don't be saying anything on Twitter coming or going to the United States, because you may not get into your own country. And if you're coming here, you might get deported before you get into ours. So be safe out there. But Bruce, thanks for your email. All right, folks, we're already done here. Geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com. voicemail hotline, of course, is 619-342-7365. You can reach me on Twitter at Geek News. Of course, my name is Todd Cochran. Make sure to get over to geeknewscentral.com. Support our sponsors. We definitely appreciate it when you do. Definitely check out all the great deals from GoDaddy at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy and get your free Go to My PC trial by going to goingtomypc.com. Click the try free button and use the promo code podcast. All right, until next time, we'll see you on Saturday Morning Tech, and we're going to have a great show lined up for you there. Until then, take care and aloha.